Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin again with Coins Plus. Coins Plus is always the sponsor of the show. 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza in Spokanewa, as I've had people out of the area call it when I travel. They say, you're from Spokanee, and I'm like, close enough. So anyway, we're from Spokane, Washington. Our local phone number, 509 area code Spokane, 509 or just 444-0044. Toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website at Coins Plus, of course. As always, coinsplus.com. And as you all who are regular listeners are experts at, we are a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals always. 20 years of always buying and always selling, never hesitating, never stopping. We move a lot of product here. Kind of an interesting yo-yo business. There's times we buy way more than we can use, and there's times we sell way more than we have. And we do our best to try to inventory it and balance it out over time. It takes a lot of cash to do so, and I get to ride in a lot of fluctuating markets. Sometimes a little rocky, sometimes a little unnerving, but guess what? I guess when I hung the sign on the door, it's a decision I made. But in the long haul, precious metals are the solid, God-ordained biblical asset that has lasted for thousands of years from the very beginning of written human history, which is the beginning of the Bible as far as I'm concerned. We buy, sell, and love numismatic coins. They're my favorite. They're exceptional investments. They're the best. They don't go down. That just in all the years I've been in this business, they just don't go down. I mean, things can get artificially pumped up, but it's nothing that we would ever recommend as an investment. We consider ourselves wealth and capital preservation specialists. We build precious metals-based portfolios. We are very, very experienced at this. We offer the highest-rated privately held depository service in a mammoth region, large area. And we are always buying what can be referred to as scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. That's just any kind of old gold, whatever it may be that you don't want, we buy. And a lot of people turn it in and trade it. I've seen, I couldn't even count the number of people that bring in old jewelry out of grandma's jewelry case. And they say, you know, we don't really need the cash, but I'm not exactly excited about having a broken gold chain that I try to trade with my neighbor if anything ever gets weird. I was speaking with a computer almighty guru yesterday about VoIP phone systems, VOIP, voice over internet protocol. And we kind of got into the whole concept of potential electronic failure, like EMPs, and just the potential of terrorism. We'll call it a terrorism technology hybrid. If you look at what's going on in this nation, I mean, you talk about tension. Look at what Obama has done to us. And folks, it's him. It's leadership. He's a wretched, wretched man. And he is a master at what he does. I mean, you listen to this guy, you like him. You want to believe him. He makes, he gives you a different perspective on things. And you're like, yeah. But he is a professional at excluding facts. He is an attorney. He is an attorney hellbound on the destruction of the United States of America. And the problem is we have an entire generation now who has been brain shifted, literally brain shifted, to the point where will they accept Donald Trump? This is really blowing my mind, the stuff that's going on. And so just kind of briefly before I go forward, what I was talking about a minute ago with the guru, computer guru, what do you call him? Computer tech, whatever. He says yes. He said he is so concerned about that, about an electrical system or internet failure, because it would just absolutely maim the United States. And he was basically specifying how easy it would be to maim the U.S. You don't have to hit the whole U.S., as he said. He said there are critical junctures. Google, Microsoft, you know, all kinds of things. Apple. I mean, operations that run it all, you know, that are just absolute critical parts of everybody's day. You take Microsoft out, what do you got? Which is why there are advantages to Apple computers on an individual basis. They're not near as greedy and controlling. I mean, Microsoft now, you have to pay for Microsoft Word, Excel, basically what they call Microsoft Office. You have to pay a membership fee. You can no longer buy a disk and own it. Are you serious? I mean, folks, this stuff's getting it's getting crazy. It's a first-class ripoff is what it is. Microsoft, you know, they've had their day. They're still there. They're big. They're players. I mean, their campus, as they call it, is a city. But they're just always looking for one more way to get their fingers in the pot. It's a humongous corporation. But, I mean, they're all centrally located on one campus. I don't know if you've been there, but it is magnificently large. It's so large, they have drivers and phones. You pick up a phone, and a Microsoft driver will pick you up at one building and take you to another, and you may literally be driving for 10 minutes across the campus. But there's some central hubs coming out of there. There's just, I don't know, maybe I'm a little too negative or worried or whatever, but I just am not sure. One thing, folks, I think common sense, you can call it biblical, you can call it logical, you can call it sensible, you can call it whatever you want. But when you technically take money that you've never seen, you earn it from an employer, and they basically give you electronic credits in your bank account, and you transfer those electronic credits to a money market account, and then you meet with your broker, 401k or whatever it is, guy, and then you transfer those electronic credits over to some investment that he says he's going to make for you into a system now, which not only is designed to make sure you never touch, feel, or look at your money, but it is designed, folks, hands down, bar none, to confiscate your wealth. Absolute confiscate your wealth. No one, folks, no one makes money on paper investments anymore. Despite the fact the Dow is through the roof, overpumped, overinflated, people don't make money. Talk to friends. But you know, the thing is, I guess I have a strong financial background, a lot of experience. Maybe people are more honest with me. I'll get their statements and look at them. But if you talk to honest friends that aren't trying to blow smoke and impress you, they're not doing well. It's just poor. So here's the thing. So we've got your cyber credits stuck where? I mean, this truly baffles me all the time. What is the backup? What's the safety catch? Do all things last forever, or do things come to sudden ends? You know, frauds end suddenly, I say. Do we believe that this system will last permanently? It will just get better and stronger and smarter. Oh, yes. And we add more cybersecurity all the time, don't we? Because of the constant threat. So we've got nations like Russia and China who, while everyone was kind of sleeping, they have gathered mammoth, massive databases on everybody. So what happens is when things come up, they have blackmail information, which is why they've tried to put out these false leaks about Donald Trump, which is not true. I mentioned the fact that years back, a family friend of ours, ironically, incredible guy, currently in London. I knew him from Oregon. He was on the team with Barclays that did the reorganization for Trump, the Trump organization in the 80s. He was only 25 at the time, one of five guys. He had to set up the boardroom. Trump, even back then, required them to sweep for bugs. Always been a very smart guy. But Trump, he said, Trump's arrogant and he's tough to like. But he said he's very smart. But he also said what he thinks is what he says. And he said there the guy doesn't have secrets. He just doesn't. He's a smart man. He does things that are wise. He does things that are appropriate. And so recently, this garbage has been coming out the last few days about Trump supposedly having some, you know, or Russia having some set of rude, inappropriate, improper sex tapes on Trump that they're blackmailing him with. Apparently, this lie has been sitting there for quite some time. James Clapper, the head of the, you know, the director of intelligence and head of the NSA, who is already, without even batting an eye, lied to Congress about, sorry, I'm typing here. Let me check something out here real quick. So anyway, he lied to Congress about the infiltration level of the NSA, about the level of private citizens' civil right violations being conducted by the NSA. The guy's a liar. He's a left winger. He works in intelligence. Let's be honest. That level of national intelligence is nothing but government-authorized spying and lying, okay? So he comes out and oversees this fake news. Folks, this fake news stuff is out of control. I mean, it's George Soros is the author of it. The left is the, the predator with it. They have absolutely maimed and destroyed people with it. And now they lose an election and they're paranoid and they're accusing the right of fake news. Well, James Clapper releases, let's put it this way. There was a mysterious leak from the Department of Intelligence, which the Department of Intelligence, of course, completely vehemently denies, but they say the leak did not come from us. However, no one else knew. Trump was having this meeting to discuss it, etc. Apparently, this stuff's been there since last summer, that supposedly some MI6 agent from Great Britain who was really in the know and really on the inside had this information and blah, 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 and they've been blackmailing Trump and all this garbage trash. So they come out, CNN covers it. Well, now they're saying, no, we didn't cover the story as if it was true. We covered the fact that the story was involved in the paperwork or in the briefing intelligence report that Trump got, and on and on and on it goes. Clapper put it in there to make it an issue. Clapper does not like Trump. Folks, Trump is under pressure. He's under the gun. Clapper is using his position for political purposes. We have got a series of events going down right now in this country that are seriously threatening us. People voted for Donald Trump. Why? Drain the swamp. Now the guy, they're coming after him from every angle. People are using their power. But guess who's at the core of it all? The media. The media is exactly how Karl Marx said you will take over a society, propaganda and education. And folks, we are in a full propaganda mode. We are under incredible socialistic siege in this nation, whether you want to believe it or not. We are so many ways a Marxist nation. We are tolerating, accepting, embracing, emboldening socialism in this nation. We are absolutely infiltrating our children's minds with this stuff. This is serious stuff. We are shifting, shifting, shifting. And, you know, lies are powerful. We tell the kids, no, no, no. We are, no matter what your debate is with them, oh, no, no. We're still a democratic republic. Oh, no, no. We still have free market. Yeah, I talk to people and I go, how is that concept free market? You know, how? What's any difference between democracy and socialism or being the Democrats' belief, philosophy, and socialism? Oh, it's completely different. Oh, it's absolutely different. Well, in socialism, the government controls everything. We still have free market. Well, our free market includes incredible regulations. There's just an endless barrage of government influence and control. And when you cross the wrong people, these adult politician attorneys throw temper tantrums, kind of like the one today, James Mad Dog Mattis, 4-star general that Trump wants to be his chief, his secretary of state, or I'm sorry, director of defense or whatever it is. My brain blanked on me. You have to be a civilian to run the military, hypothetically. So James Mattis has only been out of the military coming up on 4 years. It needs to be 7. So he gets a clearance. He has a hearing before Congress yesterday. And he basically passes. But today, the Democrats wanted a special meeting with him to shred him, to chew him out politically, to make soapbox statements to get public attention. And Trump said, no, you've given him your hearing, no. So the Democrats are throwing a temper tantrum. And, you know, I feel like a child in junior high even discussing all this stuff. What we are seeing, folks, is a problem, okay? And I'm bouncing a little bit, which is my specialty. With the director of national intelligence of this caliber, folks, what are we walking into? Seriously. I hope Trump drains the swamp and mops things up, because we've got a problem. We've got a bunch of bitter, sore losers who are breaking all the rules, abusing all their power. And this is so ungodly and unbiblical in a nation. Now, is politics new? No, not a bit. Is there anything new under the sun? Absolutely not. But what's going on now is President Obama set an example that you do what you want, when you want, how you want, to whom you want. Anybody who does not agree with you is your hardcore enemy. You listened to Joe Biden yesterday, the vice president, in this, the president gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction. The highest absolute honor you can get in this nation. You listen to these guys blowing smoke up each other's you-know-what, and you would think that you're listening to the two most phenomenal men on the planet Earth with the greatest amount of integrity and honor, and on it goes. And they are not. He has utterly brought in a philosophy that is as un-American as anything I can imagine. It's Islamic. It's black liberation theology. He has divided us. He's created enemies. He has destroyed this nation. Now, what bothers me most, and I am biased, is how can the Democrats look at Obamacare now and throw a temper tantrum about it being repealed? Do you remember no one read it? They rammed it down the throats of American public and the Republicans. There's always going to be a large cross-section of society that is willingly ignorant, as the Bible says. Absolutely willingly ignorant. They're always going to be dumb. They're always going to buy into whatever the most recent lie is. That does not mean that they're right. And so they're always going to follow the mainstream lies. It's just the way it's always going to be. Frankly, folks, it's scary that they get to vote, is it not? I mean, shouldn't you, I know we have a right to vote, but shouldn't you, obviously you can't, but It seems like you should be able to or have to prove a certain level of civic knowledge before you can cast a ballot. Because if they did, we would not end up anywhere near the stuff that we're facing right now. You know, we absolutely would not be anywhere near this, because once people get intelligence or truth, we are, they're going to have to make certain decisions. In 2 Peter 3:5, for this they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, etc., etc. They're willingly ignorant. You can be dumb on purpose. These people are dumb on purpose. Why would you want to be dumb on purpose? Because it's politically correct. Because your friends are. Because you want to be liked. When you seek the truth, it's very difficult to deny it. Although, I will say, I have had many conversations with people, a good friend of mine who's a colonel in the military. We were talking, and he said, wisdom, that's tough stuff. I go, what do you mean? He goes, it's just tough, man, tough to get wisdom. I don't know how you get wisdom. And he's foolish, you know. He's just got all of his beliefs confused and blended with gay marriage and all this garbage. And he and I were believer buddies going way back. And I'm like, dude, what's happened to you, man? You're out of the word is what's happened to you. That is what's happened. And you've got to be in the word of God to know the truth. Again, my wife and I were doing some reading last night, and we started Psalms 13 just because it was the 13th. We went through Psalms 15. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Let's get out of King James and get to my favorite NASB, the most accurate transliteration here. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Think about that. Speaks truth in his heart, not out his mouth, in his heart. Who speaks truth in their heart? Seek the truth, no matter the cost. The truth is in their heart. They don't have an agenda. They don't justify. They don't rationalize. They don't minimize. A good friend of mine continues to make really stupid life decisions. He chases fantasies. He chases fantasies to be hyper-successful, overly rich. He goes from one to the next, and he's very, 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 very intelligent. Incredibly, phenomenally intelligent. But he's foolish because he justifies. He has his agenda first and he can't make it fit. So he will literally quote. We're reading in scripture the other day together over the phone, and something clicked and it conflicted with something in his life. He began to quote Alexander Hamilton. In another case, he quoted a counselor that he knew. But, you know, so they go out and they want their ears tickled. They want to be told what they want to hear. That is not who we are. We need to speak truth in our heart. Now, I know believers all over that can't do this. Folks, that's not what you're supposed to be. Why was David called a man after God's own heart? What made him so unique? People say, oh, he was a good repenter. True, but that is a symptom of why. The reason why is because he spoke truth in his heart. What does that mean? What that means is that he wanted God's agenda pure and true, no matter what cost it had in his life. And as I tried to teach my kids, seek the truth no matter the cost. I think they kind of get it a little bit, but still not fully. It's not easy to be pure. Now, here's the thing. You've got, and by pure, that's another big deception. The Bible says, who can walk in the holy hill of the Lord? Who can abide in your tent? He who walks with integrity, okay, And then in the Hebrew, it's tamim, which means perfect, upright, without spot, without blemish. You know, all these things. Neither you nor I can do that. Then we get down to righteousness and works righteousness, which is tzedek, okay? And the thing I like about this, it is says it means of right mind, okay? It's like a king or a ruler, a just mindset. It's a thought process that is right with God. That, and then it mentions David and, of course, the Messiah. It's an attribute of God, righteousness. You have a desire for ethics. You have a desire to speak right. You have a desire for the evil to be vindicated. You have a desire to behave godly in controversy. You have a desire to, you know, for deliverance, for victory, for even for prosperity, it says. It's your desire to be right with God. It's not perfection. That is what's hard, okay? Now, if you seek this with God, you're going to end up, you know, a lot like Christ, but you're still human. You've still got Adam's DNA. God wants someone who wants God. First and foremost, above all else, this is what he wants. And then it goes on, you know, they do not slander with their tongue, does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against a friend. Those are false attacks. Every three of those are false attacks. There's three ways you attack. You attack with your tongue, falsely, or intentionally destructively, that's slander. You do evil to your neighbor. We know that Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself. You have, and there's so many scriptures about love overlooking a sin and about, you know, the class of keeping, concealing a sin. That sounds interesting because it's not aiding and abetting a felon that I'm talking about. It's overlooking the impurity, imperfection in your fellow man because it needs to be overlooked in you. To him who is much is forgiven or will be loved, You know what I mean. If when we are forgiven much, we will love much, is what Christ said. The more sin you've been forgiven, the more you need to appreciate what's been done for you, and you pass that on, and you overlook the impurities and imperfections in your fellow man, because we are all in this together. We are all, hypothetically, children of God. Physically, we're all children of God. Spiritually, maybe not. Doesn't matter. You love your neighbor. You don't do evil to your neighbor. You don't do wrong to others. You don't attack people. You don't go out and you don't carry a vengeance or a grudge and continue to pursue it. You let it go. Now, there is vindication and justice. There is righteous indignation. Somebody does something sickly immoral, you know, rapes your wife. I mean, I'm sorry, but who knows? Yeah, you're going to struggle with that. But all this petty garbage over, you know, I know a situation where a guy was mowing his lawn and his lawnmower picked up a rock, they think. Well, let's put it this way. The neighbor was mowing his lawn. The other neighbor found a chip in his window and theorized that the mowing neighbor's lawnmower caught a rock and punched it at the window, and they didn't have a lot of proof, although in the past there had been a problem in that area that they discussed. So this thing begins to escalate between them over that. There's no real solid proof, but it's most likely. I know the one neighbor who's a believer who was handling the lawnmower. By the time I found out about this and the way he was handling it, I was appalled. The neighbor that got his window chipped wanted the neighbor with the lawnmower to pay for a rock chip repair. The lawnmower neighbor, Christian, refused and just escalated and escalated to the point where these two guys got into it on their property line to where the other neighbors had to call the cops, and they got arrested for fighting. Which is kind of stupid too, folks, because by the way the law works, if you get into a fight with another man willingly, they shouldn't be able to arrest you if you both say we're willingly in it. If you both point the finger and say, well, he hit me and I hit him and he struck me, then they arrest you both for assault. Two grown men can willingly engage in combat by law. Now, hopefully you're not doing that. I happen to know that just because I spent so many years studying martial arts and dealing with that kind of stuff. And I grew up with in a family that was in the legal system, a father that was a bail bondsman, a mother that was owned a large legal firm that did depositions till the cows came home, et cetera. So, but anyway, that's just a quick side note. But as a neighbor, you know, what would have happened if he said, look, what I would have done is I would have said, look, I don't think I did it, but I'm going to make it right. In fact, I had a situation like this years back with a guy in business who was a ruthless, terrible person, frankly. And he just caused all this chaos and mayhem and tried to hold something of mine hostage and everything and said I owed him money that I didn't. So what I did is I said, look, I always think of myself as a believer. I'm an ambassador for God. I said, I do not agree with what you're doing, nor do I agree with your perspective. However, here's what I'm going to do. You think I owe you $300? I'm going to donate $300 to this charity or that charity in your name. You can have the write-off for it. I didn't give him the money, but a charity benefited, and he let it go. There's always a solution, which takes us to another level of thought. Strategy is the art of the possible, okay? Biblical wisdom, which is a big deal. James says you want it. Proverbs is all about it. Solomon had it. Solomon wants us to have it. God wants us to have it. Biblical wisdom is the art of the possible. It is the strategy of life. Ignorant people have binary thinking. Everything comes with two options. Often driven by fear. I am afraid this won't work, so I won't try. The other person says, well, I understand your concerns, and there are others, but I see the outcome and the benefit, so I see it as an opportunity. Two different thought processes. Strategy is the key. It's like, okay, yes, we're facing challenges. The difference between a failure and a success. Failures in life hit an obstruction or an obstacle or a challenge and they quit and say, see, I knew it wouldn't work. Successful people have roadblocks and obstructions, but they have challenges and that they have to overcome. They're just inconvenient obstructions that they continue to work around. For example, in my years in banking, what does a good loan officer do? A good loan officer gets all the information on somebody, runs it through an underwriting, and what's underwriting do? No. Why? Because of this. Well, what if we overcome this? Okay, so we overcome that. No, no, no. So a good loan officer gets a loan package. In fact, folks, I'll tell you from having a lot of experience in real estate, this is all real estate is obstruction after obstruction after obstruction. Whether it's title work, whether it's appraisal values, whether it's cash flow on rents, whether it's, you know, maintaining a budget or getting certain permits, whatever it may be, it is overcoming obstruction after obstruction after obstruction after obstruction. That's what it is. It takes a very powerful entrepreneur to do this. You look at the average person who's become very wealthy in real estate, and they're going to have a pretty good skill at overcoming this. They will get cynical and they will get hard. Just a fact of life. I did a lot of business with these types of people. For someone to take it to the level of Donald J. Trump, He's got the most incredible ability to overcome you can imagine, I assure you. He never quits. He can't quit. He can't stop. No one stops him. All of these smoke screens that we, throughout this campaign, that would stop any man, Trump would sidestep and keep going. So he's got this incredible skill to overcome and drive and reach his goals, number one. Number two, he's got the skill and ability to manage a massive corporation making huge decisions. People criticize as if he is, you know, racist and sexist. Folks, he's ran this multi-billion dollar corporation. They bring up these lawsuits from 1984 for discrimination in housing. You know, seriously, they're like 30 years old. And they were settled with no fault. But the point is, he's learned. He's probably made mistakes. That just happens. But it's not habitual. Nobody from his past says he's a racist. They never do, never have. So he's gone. He's ran this massive corporation. And in the overall scheme of things, he's got so few lawsuits that are relevant. It's unbelievable. It's certainly irrelevant to his presidency. So he's ran a clean corporation, despite the fact that they are hyper barraging him with the label of racism to such an excess that it's the buzzword for the left. The other thing you got to think about Donald Trump, what has he spent the last month or whatever doing? Hiring people. What's his show on TV? The Apprentice. How long has he had it on? Many, many years, 15 or whatever it is. And what's he do? He hires people. He screens them. He weeds them out. He puts them through the test in front of the world. So when he fails, the whole world sees it, and it's made him stronger and better. So he hires and he fires, which is exactly what he's doing. People who've been sitting in the room while he's interviewed these people have been amazed. Number one, person after person, enemy after enemy says, what a gracious gentleman. He's so sincere about his love for this country and wanting to make it great again that these people are participating with him one after the next. And when he's hiring these people, he's interviewing, he's bringing in the best of the best. His cabinet and his staff is going to be the best that's ever sat in that Oval Office or in that White House. He's putting in the best of the best of the best. He truly is very good at what he does. He doesn't have time for political correctness. He's not a diplomat. He's not an ambassador. Most real estate barons I've ever met, in fact, I'll go as far as to say all that I've known of, are that way. So he's got all these skills. He's got a great skill set. He's going to be a great president, probably the greatest in the history of the United States, and yet the left will never give it to him. They're livid with him. They're absolutely livid with him. And the other thing that is quite interesting to me is the fact that now they're going after all these different angles. The attack on James Comey. James Comey, the director of the FBI, who was pursuing Hillary Clinton's email scandal. At one point, publicly exonerated her shortly days after Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch, the head of the Department of Justice, in a private airplane to have a private discussion no one could observe or record. Just days later, James Comey basically exonerates Hillary, lets her off. Says in all terms, she was reckless, wasteful, ruthless, but no prosecutor would bring a case in this case, which was really wrong for him to say. He was incorrect. After this, Hillary Clinton begins to run around touting the fact that James Comey exonerated her. You know, basically, she starts to misquote him and say there was no fault. He proved I did nothing wrong. There was nothing there. All these lies, when in fact there was all kinds of security breaches, there was all kinds of security investigations behind the scenes no one knew about that were continuing on, ongoing. And then they run into Anthony Weiner's computer and they find more emails from Hillary or correspondence between Uma Abedin, his wife, and Hillary. What is he supposed to do at that point? Days before the election, he's got two options. Say nothing and have her get elected and come out and say, I had this information before the election. I didn't say a word. Now she's under federal indictment. Or say something, as he had promised Congress he would, that if he came across any additional information in his investigation, he promised the Congress of the United States that he would make them aware of it. So then he did. And he left it up to the people. He just said there's more emails for us to go through. They scoured through them rapidly and came out and said, nothing new there, folks. Don't worry about it. Go on with the election as usual. So now they want to go back and attack him. They want to destroy him. Hindsight. You cannot do that in hindsight. It is destructive as all get out. Folks, this is wrong. If Hillary wouldn't have been so sloppy and disrespectful with her email as the most powerful security official in the United States of America, we wouldn't have had the conversation. Last night on a show, I heard a guy say, well, just the fact that we're discussing James Comey shows you that there was a problem because we shouldn't even be talking about this. Well, if we weren't talking about that, we'd be talking about something else because the left keeps throwing out smoke screens. You know, hindsight is 2020. This is nasty politics. The problem is James Comey is coming under the Clinton crush machine. Anyone who gets in their way gets crushed time and time again. I'm hoping this is the last gasp, the last breath that we have seen from the Clinton machine. It may not be, because he, Obama, may incorporate them into his national organization efforts for socialistic, you know, change or whatever it's going to be called. Comey was put in a brutal spot, and he made a call that was the best call at the time. In the past, looking back, who knows, because she lost. She's the sorest loser on record. No one knew she would lose. I mean, I guess, you know, if Trump lost, none of this would have mattered. And the truth is, there's so much impropriety in her actions that Trump should encourage Sessions, his new attorney general, to pursue her. But he's being a gentleman, ruthless and merciless in battle, or whatever they call it, and magnanimous in victory. He's being a gentleman. They should be indicting him, her. Fake news is, you know, this stuff with Russia this, Russia that. They have beat this to death. This Russian hacking and Russian fake, you know, information that they're bribing Trump with. This hacking garbage. Folks, the truth of it is, they call it hacking. They got into people's computers and tried to gather data on Trump. Of course they did. So does everybody else. As they say, this has been going on indefinitely forever. But now all of a sudden it's an issue. A while ago, we caught him doing it, and Obama came out and said, knock it off. Ooh. Folks, I understand this is politics at its best, politics at its worst, okay? I get it. But it's getting bad. We're dividing this country terribly. We've got to give Trump a fighting chance. 700,000 protesters that they're predicting will come to the Trump inauguration. To what? Protest what? The free democratic election of America? Oh, no, no, it wasn't. They say, but he didn't win the popular vote. Well, guess what? Our system's not set up for the popular vote. And if you understand why, because the popular vote would be a few major metropolitan areas and the rest of America would be left in the dust. Our system's a beautiful system. Folks, our founding fathers were divinely inspired when they created this terrific system. Every state has a say in our Electoral College. That's the other thing. They want to attack the Electoral College, which gives, you know, balanced representations to the states. It doesn't dump it all on the masses. Otherwise, they would have campaigned to a few critical large areas. I know that a lot of this should be old news. Once Trump gets inaugurated, let's hope some of this stuff passes, but I'm afraid it won't. Repeal and replace Obamacare. I really hope this happens. I know they're saying they're going to do it. They rammed this thing down our throat. It was the most terrible piece of legislation probably ever imposed in the United States. We get this Justice Kennedy who cowardly calls it a tax and lets it remain. I mean, folks, we've got some interesting times. And I'll tell you, a quick bounce away from this. Do something financially. We are walking in, and we've got Israel doing some attacks on Syria today because they're feeling emboldened and empowered with Trump coming in office. The world should realign in line with the way it ought to be, but it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be comfortable. Obama has given ISIS and the Islamic radicals an 8-year running head start. You cannot stop that kind of momentum. They've been allowed to build and develop. We actually have fools in our country comparing Donald Trump to Nazi Germany Hitler. And defending Muslims. Folks, the Muslim religion hates America, hates Jews, hates Christians. Crystal, stark, clear, non-negotiable fact. It has infiltrated our nation, okay? We've got a problem that is not going away, and it is a deep spiritual problem that has continued for thousands of years. You say, oh, Muhammad didn't invent Muslim or Islam till 585 AD. How can it be thousands of years? Because it is the continuation of Baal worship. That's all this is, which is terribly consistent with biblical prophecy about the end times Antichrist, whom it says won't have natural affections for a woman and will, you know, not have a natural love for the God of the Bible. And it's going to be probably a gay Muslim or something we don't know, you know. And the guy may appear to have natural affections for a woman. Spiritually, it may, you know, who knows? It could have something to do with the gay or transgender or whatever. I don't know what John saw. We don't know, but we will know. And I mean, is our country in a situation that it can heal from all this? I don't know. I'm afraid it's not. You know, they're doing so much. I don't know if you even heard all the stuff the Clinton campaign had ready to go when they won. You know, just $500,000 glass ceiling for her to break through. Millions of dollars in fireworks and professional performers. And when they went into the campaign room after she lost to clean up, that she had shattered 158-inch high-definition plasma television that was given to her by a Saudi Arabian leader. Those cost about $400,000. They're very rare. Panasonic makes them. She shattered that. They destroyed everything in the room, turned the tables upside down, destroyed the cake with the presidential seal on it, threw apparently the cake topper so hard that it was stuck in the sheetrock of the wall. I don't know what happened there, but I do know someone who does, somebody from a large news conglomerate out of New York who had a reporter on scene behind closed doors, not able to report this stuff. Hillary demands everybody who comes in a room with her removes their cell phones. She doesn't want video or audio. She wants no record of what she says or does. So, folks, sorry today was politics. It's tough to get away from. It's just the, you know, I'm excited for this country. I yearn for it. Trump is not thin-skinned. He's thick-skinned. No one could have endured what he went through. And he, it's going to be a good 4 to 8 years. It's going to be uncomfortable, though, because whenever you're fighting to do right, they fight to pull you down and hold you down. I say that there is going to be some financial ramifications. I think it's going to take Trump a little while to get his head around the fiat currency system and start to understand what's going on. He's hypothetically not supposed to be able to control it, but people in positions of power that are getting afraid are starting to leak bad stories. They're starting to try to undermine him. He's a tough guy. We're going to have to see what happens. In the media, you know, he was yelling at CNN the other day at a press conference, and I've never seen in my lifetime a reporter more rude to a president than this guy from CNN was, screaming at Trump to try to get a question in when Trump said no. Absolutely out of control. Out of control, the way the behavior's gotten here, folks. Out of control. Now, here I'm going to jump in with something that sounds irrelevant. If you've got a safe deposit box, pay it. We've got a few people out of hundreds of boxes, many hundreds, we've got a few people that are habitually late or habitually don't pay. And my employees have to waste time sending out second and third letters. If you're out there listening, I don't know if you are or you're not, pay your bill. Or bring the box key in and close it out or something. When I open up the safe deposit boxes, the last thing I ever dreamed of was that I'd have to collect payments on them when people have their valuables in there. And for those of you who are thinking, no, they're not dead, we know for a fact the few people of concern are wide awake and alive. So just take care of your obligations. But some people, I learned from years in banking, some people are just deadbeat. Some people just don't pay bills. They go through their whole life like that with devastated credit, which, you know, some of those people, there's a reason why they have anonymous precious metals, because they've got so many people with judgments against them. But just take care of your responsibilities and obligations no matter who you are or what you do. If you sign on a dotted line and say, I will, then you should. That's the way I look at it. You've got an obligation to Christ, to your family, to your name. Do not be a deadbeat. Pay your bills. If you cannot pay bills, you can, and you have like medical bills and stuff, you can settle those. There's 100 different ways. If the hospital knows they're not getting paid, you negotiate for a payoff to close it out. You can do that with any collection. You can do that with any credit card once. But as children of the living God, if our word's not good, what kind of a witness are we giving? So think about that. Couple people lately I've talked to about annuities, folks. Unbelievable. They are the worst. They've got tax issues. They tie your money up. You're never going to get it back out. You can, you should, but it's very difficult and uncomfortable. They're not regulated like any other investment. Get away, run away. They're not what you think they are. They don't do what you think they will. They don't offer you this beautiful level of interest return year by year. Your money is not yours. It's not acceptable. Be wise. Do not buy annuities. Folks, now's a great time. I've mentioned it over and over to get into some metals. Get a portfolio built. We've got some incredible stuff in stock right now. I mean, really. I've saved up. I've been digging out of the vault, my own personal investment stuff. We've got it. We're getting it ready to go. We're working on it hard. We recently bought a nice hoard of dollars from Montana, which is the last frontier of silver dollars. I have connections there, and trust me, they are so dried up. You can't even believe how hard old Morgan silver dollars are to get. And I'm blessed, and every now and then I get a good blessing of them that no one else in the U.S. gets. This is a good opportunity for you. We've got all kinds of other cool stuff to invest in. Great investor coins. I've been doing this a long time. I know what works. I know what doesn't. We build balanced portfolios. Precious metals are at a, you know, they're starting to come back pretty solidly, but there's a long ways to go. Get involved. Just to the previous high from a few years ago, silver can go up a couple 100% and gold almost 100 or so. I mean, why would you forego that? It's obvious. It's easy. It's all upside. The economy is not going to explode because we're global now. Trump is bringing jobs back to America, but he's going to be under attack. The left is going to refuse to appreciate him. And you just want to do what God would do. Christ, simple as that, Christ would not go down to Edward Jones and hand him a bunch of money and an 8% commission and let him buy stocks. God made hard assets. Jesus used them. If you think times were different then, they were and they weren't. But anyway, give us a call, 444-0044, or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. Roll your 401ks over now. Roll them over, roll them out. We'll help you go either direction. But if you've got portfolios, you've got savings, give us a call. Let us help you out. And you don't have to. I mean, $5,000-$10,000, whatever it is, we can help you out. If you want to start out with a small portion of it, we can help you out. But this is a great buying opportunity. 17 is going to be an interesting year. You want to be secured and planted firmly. Trump's a strong man at a time we need it, and who knows exactly what the future holds. Thank you again for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Monday is Martin Luther King Day, which is good. So enjoy it. We will be back on Monday, and have a great weekend. God bless. Bye-bye.